Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. I'll be very, very quick in these chapters. But at the same time, we don't want to skip over anything. In Romans chapter 1, from verses 1 to 7, we see Paul gives the greeting to the believers there. He's writing to the believers in the church at Rome. Chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. And then look at verse 15. This is what the Apostle Paul says in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Paul is going to preach the gospel. He's going to preach the gospel from the book of Romans. And you and I tonight, dear friends, sometimes we say there that the gospel is good news. And it is that. But dear friends, there are also in the gospel that there's bad news. There's bad news for the unsaved person. Should they ignore the preaching of the gospel? Should they turn a blind eye to the preaching of the gospel? And you must remember, going back again to Matthew 5, that Jesus was speaking to the people and he was saying something about their righteousness there. And he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees, they believed in keeping the law. They, as far as they were concerned, as long as they fulfilled the commandments that God gave Moses at Mount Sinai, way back there in Exodus chapter 20, in around that area of Exodus there, they were quite content to obey the law. And in their own mind, they had arrived at the conclusion, well, as long as we obey the law, we are righteous. And the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus there, and we read in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus points out to them there that by keeping the law doesn't make you righteous. Now I've got four little headings here. The first little heading is simply this, the problem. What was the problem that the scribes and Pharisees had? The problem that they had was their own self-righteousness. And I'm sure it's just the same in you buildings as it is anywhere else in this province and further afield tonight. Very often we'd be on the doors and around this McCarroll there, and those housing estates there. And whenever we come to try and present the gospel to some of the people on the door, they're not interested. Because fixed in their mind, the devil has fixed in their mind that they are all right before God. They have their self-righteousness. And yet now, whenever I come into Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it tells me there that all our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. So there's a problem there, and there's a big problem there. And the Apostle Paul, in these verses and these chapters that you and I are going to look at this evening for a little while, Paul sets out there to counteract that problem. And I want us tonight, dear friends, to see what the problem is. He says in verse 15, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. Paul has got a mission here. He's come, he's travelled, he's coming into the city of Rome, he's coming to preach the gospel there. And then look what he says in verse 16 and verse 17. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to see what Paul says here now. You see the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20 that we looked at there. They thought, you see, dear friends, because of the position that they held amongst the Jews, that they were above everybody else. And as far as they were concerned, they were all right before God. But the Apostle Paul makes it clear. I want you to see something else in these verses. Look at verse 17. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what's the message of the gospel tonight? But Paul tells us here, if he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The message tonight, the gospel tonight, dear friend, is a message that man can be justified with God. Man can be brought into that relationship with God tonight. That's the message of the gospel this evening, dear friends. I want us to see this here. Now, we will go very, very quickly. If we were to move from verse 18 where we were there, right up until the end of about verse 23 or verse 32, somewhere about there, you'll see the state of the Gentiles. You'll see the state of the Gentiles. It describes the sin. I don't want to go into that this evening. It describes the sin of the Gentiles. And because of that sin of the Gentiles, you see, the Jews of that particular day, well, they thought they were better than the Gentiles. And if you go out in new buildings tonight and you start knocking those doors and go around those houses there, you'll find that the person at number 31 thinks in their mind that they're better than the person at number 32. The person at number 32 will think they're better than the person at number 33. They have it fixed in their mind. And the devil has fixed it in their mind, dear friends, that as far as they're concerned, they are righteous before God. I don't need to go. I've got it steady just recently there. Ladies, I was talking to a lady, and she says, you know, Harry, my mother died like that, without Christ. In her mother's own mind, she thought she was good enough. And the lady said to me, she says, you know, if it's good enough for my mother, she says, it's good enough for me. You see, dear friends, tonight, we can see the situation, we can see the state of the mind that people are in. I was speaking to a lady on the phone. I got a phone call Wednesday night before I come out to go to listen to a car prayer meeting. Lady on the other end of the phone is in tears. From Canada. Her brother further down somewhere else in Canada, thousands of miles else in another place in Canada, had just passed away. I've been speaking to that lady that was on the phone to me for years. I've sent her tracts, I've sent her books, I've sent her some of these addresses that I maybe would preach to post them to her there. And every time she'd come on the phone, we get into a spiritual conversation. Sometimes, friends, that conversation lasts maybe for a couple of hours. And she said to me, well, you know, Harry, I was baptized as an infant. I went to my first communion when I was in such and such an age. And as far as she's concerned, dear friends, she's all right before God. It breaks my heart to have to speak to someone like that. Because they have it fixed in their mind through their infant baptism, through their communion, through their church attendance, through perhaps contributing to the church. They think that they're right before God. And we look at this passage here, we see the state that the Gentiles were in. But then Paul has to set out here, and we'll see it here in a moment too, in chapter 2. Then the Apostle Paul, dear friends, he sets out then to show the Jews the state that they're in. And he's preaching to the Jews, he's preaching to believers, he's preaching to both Jew and Gentile here in the city of Rome. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 11. And Paul sets it out, these scribes and Pharisees, these Jewish people, they thought they were better than the Gentiles. We've got the law. We obey the law. We don't commit murder. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We don't do this. We don't do that. We do that. We do the right things. We don't do the wrong things. And as far as they're concerned, well, if we do all these things, then we're all right. But Paul says here in verse 11 of chapter 2, for there is no respect of persons with God. No respecter of persons with God. Whether you be Protestant tonight, or Catholic, whether you be English or Irish tonight, whether you be a Republican tonight or whatever, there's no respecter of persons with God. Whether you be black tonight or white tonight, Paul makes it perfectly clear here in verse 11. You see, dear friends, he's trying to cause the balance to tilt here to make it even. At the moment, dear friends, the Jews have it down and the Gentiles are up. And Paul's trying to make it different here. Paul's just saying here, he says, with God there's no respecter of persons. And then he goes on and he says something else. Look at verse 12. I'm just going through these chapters here. I'm not preaching tonight, it's Paul. We're just taking what Paul says here. Look at verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Here he brings the two of them together in verse 12. Notice what he says, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. That's the Gentiles. Then he goes on, he says, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. That's the Jews. They're no different tonight. Both Jew and Gentile without Christ. They're coming to the day of judgment. Both Jew and Gentile tonight, they die without Christ. They're going to come to a day of judgment and go out into a lost eternity, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, whether you're Protestant, whether you're Catholic tonight, whether you're black, whether you're white tonight. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying here. And tonight, dear friends, that's the message that we try to get across to the people whenever we come to the doors. It's interesting, some of the reasons and some of the excuses that the people give you when you come to the door. I go to my church. My minister visits me twice a month. My minister does this. My minister says I'm all right. My minister says something else. What would my mother think? What would my neighbors think? I would like to go to the meeting, but if a neighbor sees me go out, what would they think? I'm all right. Paul brings the two of them together here, and I think, dear friends, he brings them together in a very, very wonderful way. The problem tonight is people having it fixed in their mind, the devil has it fixed in their mind, that their own self-righteousness is sufficient to get them into heaven. And yet, no, the Apostle Paul says here that it's not. Now, come with me to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 9. Chapter 3 and verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentile are all under sun. It couldn't be more plain tonight, sir. It couldn't, friends. Couldn't be more plain tonight. Jew and Gentile are under sun. Protestant and Catholic tonight are under sun. Black and white tonight are under sun. English tonight, British tonight, Scots, Welsh tonight, Irish tonight, they're under sun. American tonight, they're under sun. Without Christ. Mind you, the Apostle Paul stands firm here, doesn't he, in this? He doesn't lose an inch to anyone in this argument that he's bringing before us here. Notice what he says then in verse 10. This is the problem. We're still just looking at the problem here now, friends. Notice what he says in verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Man, Paul doesn't beat about the bush, does he, friends, tonight? He doesn't. He doesn't tonight. They're not righteous tonight. Without Christ tonight, they're not righteous. That's the problem here. That's what Paul's dealing with here. That's what we have to deal with, dear friends, every time we go out on the doors. That's what we have to deal with, dear friends, whenever you seek to give out a gospel tract. They'll take the tract from you right enough. They'll take it and go inside the door and they'll cast it to one side. They're not interested in it. And Paul makes it perfectly clear in his verse. There is none righteous tonight before God, no, not one. Oh, think of the consequences of that tonight, dear child of God, for the unsaved person. Now, let's see what Paul says in here. He says in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. No one seeks after God tonight, dear friends. There's a voidness there. There's a big vacancy there, if you like. And tonight, dear friends, the devil seeks to fill that vacancy. He's got young fellas and young girls tonight, and they're out in the street between the drink and the drugs. And you've got other people tonight, maybe they're not so young, and they're involved in the same type of activity. And some of them, dear friends, are self-harming and end up taking their own life. No one seeketh after God tonight. I'm sure I've already said it. You go out around new buildings here tonight. Try to reach those people. They have no interest in the things of God. They're not concerned about the things of God. They have no interest in eternity. There's love for today and love for tomorrow. Tomorrow you die. And what a sad situation we have tonight in our land and in our province. Is it any wonder tonight, dear friends, our nation is in the state that it's in? No one's seeking after God tonight. Some of our own families tonight not saved. Not interested in seeking after God. Turned their back upon God. Gone the exact opposite way. And look at these verses again. As it is written, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Look at verse 12. They have all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. See the lost condition. See the condition of the soul tonight here. The soul is in a hopeless condition tonight, friends. The soul is in a helpless condition tonight. That soul can do nothing for itself tonight. Lost tonight, without Christ, without hope in the world this evening, friends. That's the problem. Look at verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It almost takes your breath away, doesn't it? Stop the man driving up the street there. Maybe the lady coming down the street, there's a little pram, a little infant, and I pushed it down, stop, and asked her, do you fear God? What, fear God? You must be joking. I don't even know God. How can I fear something I don't know? That's what Paul is saying. I mean, you friends, look, when you look at these verses here and these opening chapters of Romans, the Apostle Paul is laying it on the line. He's not missing the mark here. Notice what it says again in that verse. Verse 18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. I'm sure, dear friends, that you work in your workplace. I'm sure in your workplace, as it was in my workplace, the people that I work with there. Whenever I came to know the Lord, dear friends, they would have laughed at you, they would have jeered at you. Why? Why? Because there's no fear of God in it. There's no fear of God in it, friends. Love for today and love for tomorrow. Let the next day look after itself. Never stop when they think for a moment or two, dear friends. They're going to leave the scene of time without Christ, and they're going to have to stand before God as their judge. There's a day of judgment fast approaching. And they don't fear God. They know, oh, I wish tonight that I could get this message across to my family. I have two boys and two daughters-in-law and four grandchildren tonight, friends. And I wish that I could get this message across to them. Listen, friends, tonight, you need to fear God now in time, because whenever it comes to eternity, it will be too late and you will stand before God as your judge. And it will be too late then, friends. You go out into the dark, outer darkness. There's no fear of God. And look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law, Paul says, the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. By the law is the knowledge of sin. How would we know tonight, dear friends, what darkness was if we didn't have light? How would we know tonight, dear friends, what wrong was if we didn't have right? Paul says here, by the law, the Old Testament law, by the Old Testament law, he says, it brings us the knowledge of sin. It reveals sin to us tonight, friends, through the law. But I want to say, look at verse 22. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. He comes back to this argument again. I know tonight, dear friends, that there's some Protestant people, and they think they're better than the Roman Catholic folk. And I know that there's some Roman Catholic folk, and they think that they're better than the Protestant folk. And I know tonight, dear friends, that there's some employers, and they think that they're better than their workforce. And there's some in their workforce, and they think they're better than the employers. That might be in their mind tonight. But dear friends, tonight, whenever we come back to the principle of the Word of God, there's no difference. No difference in God's sight. And look at what Paul says in that latter part of the verse. He says, for there is no difference. You see the argument? He's very strong in the argument. He doesn't beat about the bush. He's positive with it here. And then look at what he says in verse 23. For he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul has taken a little parcel here. And he's put certain things into a little box, if you like, all we've already looked at there. And he's put them into a box, and he's put a little wrap around, and he's tied it up with that last verse, Romans 3 and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the problem tonight, friends. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now I want us to see the question. You don't have to look it up. You find the question is in Job chapter 9 and verse 2. How then can a man be just with God? How then can a man be justified with God? We've looked at the problem. None righteous, no, not one. No difference between Jew and Gentile. No difference between black and white, Protestant and Catholic. That was the problem. The question is, how then should a man be justified with God? Now Paul gives us the answer. You'll find the solution in Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 24. And I think these are beautiful, beautiful words that the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of God has given us here at the pen of the Apostle Paul. Notice what he says. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's how a man can be justified with God tonight, friends. It's not by keeping the law. It's not by your infant baptism. It's not by taking your communion. It's not by paying into your church. It's not by following in your mother's footsteps or your father's footsteps. The only way you can be justified by God tonight, dear friends, is through the grace of God. That's the message that Paul is preaching here. The grace of God. That's why I picked that hymn tonight. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Thank God tonight I was blind, but now I see. Oh, the grace of God. Now, friends, you cannot measure the grace of God. If you're tending into Romans 5, Paul says in Romans 5, he says, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound tonight, friends. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Oh, friends, grasp the truth of it tonight, dear child of God. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect this side of eternity. But I can tell you this tonight, dear friends, that the grace of God overrules and overpowers. And dear friends, it succumbs all my sin tonight. All my sin tonight. Look at that beautiful verse. Being justified freely doesn't cost me a penny tonight. Hallelujah tonight, friends. Doesn't cost me. My salvation tonight doesn't cost me a penny. It's paid for me at Calvary tonight with the blood of Jesus this evening. Justified freely by his grace. Notice what he says. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I think that's a beautiful word, redemption, friends. I don't know if you remember it or not, but where we used to live in the fountain yonder, we weren't too far from Bishop Street, and there were three pawn shops. There were one in the Long Tower, and there were two in Bishop Street. And way back in those days when I was young, during the war years, the money maybe wouldn't have been too plentiful. And so I've seen people on many occasions there, whenever the money was practically out, done, finished, they would take a little, maybe a clock, or maybe a watch, or maybe an old radio or something like that, take it up into the pawn shop, set it up on the counter, and say to the man, much will you give me for that? He would turn around and put a figure on it for him. He would give him the money if they accepted it. They would leave the clock or whatever, we'll leave it there. They would take the money and away they would go, and then maybe a week or two passed and their money became a little bit plentiful. They would have taken the money that they had and went back up into the pawn shop again. And what would they have done? They would have redeemed the clock. They would have bought the clock back again. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Look at that beautiful verse. Justified freely by his grace through the buying back again, which is in Christ Jesus. Can we see it tonight, friends? Oh, can we see it tonight? Where are we tonight? Where am I tonight? I'm brought back again tonight. By the grace of God, through Christ Jesus tonight, through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see this here in a moment or two. By the grace of God, through the redemption. Tonight, dear friends, there's no redemption any other than in Christ himself. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that's a beautiful verse. And I think that's a wonderful word that the Spirit of God has placed on the redemption. I may have said it here before. I remember whenever Brian Spence and Albert Mahoney and the lads were in the faith mission. I used to do the open airs with them yonder in Port Verse and in different places there. And one of the hymns, I think it's in a book, I'm not sure. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, friends, can we see this little picture tonight that God is painting for us here? Can we see Calvary tonight? Three courses, three crosses standing side by side. Oh, broken law assigned, two for their own transgressions died, the middle one for mine. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love to me. Lead me to Calvary. Lead me to Calvary tonight. There's a verse in the scriptures, I think it's John's Gospel. And I think it refers to the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers, after they had treated Jesus as they had treated him in Pilate's judgment hall, and they scourged the Lord Jesus and brought him up on the Golgotha's hill and had him nailed to the cross. It says, and sitting down, they watched him there. Sitting down, dear friends, at the foot of the cross, looking up under that Golgotha's hill. See that center cross there? Cross on either side. Three crosses standing side by side, off broken law sign. Two for their own transgressions died, the middle one for mine. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love to me. Lead me to Calvary tonight, friends. Oh, just pause for a moment at Calvary this evening. The hermit says, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. That ere such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. Can we see the blood tonight coming from the head of the Lord Jesus? been justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. I've got a little thought here, friends, one or two little thoughts. Let me just bring them to you for a moment or two. The source of our justification tonight, dear friends, is the grace of God. There's a reservoir of that grace tonight. We're living in the day of grace. We're still living in the day of opportunity. And I am convinced, dear friends, this evening with all my heart, before very long, may not be in my lifetime, but before very long, you're going to see the Lord Jesus coming back. And the day of grace will have come to an end. The day of opportunity, dear friends, will have come to an end. In other words, dear friends, if you like to put it this way, and I don't mean to be irreverent, but it says, the day will come when God will run out of grace. It says in that verse in there, being justified freely by His grace. The time might come, dear friends, when that grace will not be available, will be no longer available freely. Won't be there anymore. It comes from the reservoir of God's grace. Justification, the grace of God. It flows from the heart of God the Father. We were singing in our opening hymn, and I mentioned at the start of the meeting tonight about the children. Their dad's not been there, the father's not been there. Can you imagine the father being at home? Fathers are here tonight. The children would have come along, perhaps. I got a card. Card come in the post. Then I got two lovely gifts yesterday. I was quite happy to receive them. As well, to be honest with you. One was a lovely piece of sirloin steak. Haven't cooked it yet, but I will this week sometime, God willing. But you can see the love that there is there, friends. You see the relationship that is there. I know over the years that love goes both ways. It comes from the father down to the children. And so that grace of God you and I are looking at tonight, dear friends, that is significant of the love of God to you and to me this evening. That is significant this evening to the love of God to those people out there in New Buildings or wherever you live this evening, still outside of Christ. There's a reservoir from it tonight. Grace, abundant grace that is greater than all my sin. Let's move on down. And look what it says then, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a reconciling sacrifice. Isn't that a lovely word, isn't it? Propitiation. What does God do? What happened at Calvary? It tells me there in Romans a little bit further, I think it's chapter 5, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And if we look at this big word propitiation, it just simply means a reconciling sacrifice. Why did Jesus die? Jesus died on that cross of Calvary, dear friends, that you and I might be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. And it's a word in that verse, look at it again, we mentioned it already. Faith in His blood. Faith in His blood. That blood tonight flows from the wounds in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how a man can become justified before God this evening. We had the problem. We had the question. We're now looking at the solution here. We're looking at the solution here. But let's go back to those verses again. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness to the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Him. I want you to see this little word here, to declare. Now we've looked at the Father. We've seen the Father there, being justified freely by His grace, through Jesus, the grace and through the redemption of Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth. We looked at the Father, we looked at the Son, but you see that little verse, that little word from verse 20, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth. Who's going to declare it to us tonight? Who's going to declare it tonight, dear friends, the way of salvation? Not the preacher in the pulpit. But the third person of the Trinity. I want you to see that because it's important tonight. Here we have the triune God working in perfect harmony and unity, friends, here tonight. We have the Father and the grace of the Father. We have the blood of the Son. And dear friends, in verse 26, we have the work of the Spirit. No one tonight, dear friends, will ever be righteous without the grace of the Father, the blood of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. I don't care tonight what church a person belongs to. I have many good friends in different denominations tonight. The lady I'm telling you about in Canada, High Church of England. quite happy to be self-righteous tonight. But whenever I look at these verses here, friends, when I talk to that lady on the phone, as I do constantly there, try and get that lady to realize it's not going to church. Not done from baptism. Not First Communion or any other communion. It's not contributing to the church or working in the church. Paul said that. Paul showed us that to you tonight. How can a person be justified with God? It's through the grace of God, number one. Through the blood of Christ, number two. And number three, it's through the work of God, the Holy Spirit, revealing it to us. That's how I'm saved tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved, that's how you were saved. Through the grace of God. What does it say in Ephesians 2? You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. Saved by grace. Saved by grace tonight. Let's move on very, very quickly. It flows from the convicting power of the Spirit of God. And I want you to see something very, very quickly, because this justification thing, talking to some people, friends, they think it's justification is a new thing. They've never heard of it before, you know. Many people on the doors never hear this word being mentioned, justification, to be brought into a relationship with God. It's no new thing. Let's see what it says in here. Look at Romans 4. Romans 4. And I'll read a few, just the three verses here. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then, that Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath hereafter glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and was accounted unto him for righteousness. You see, the idea of righteousness and justification is no new thing. Because we hear in those verses way back in Genesis, it tells us there that Abraham believed God, and he was justified. Abraham believed God, dear friends, and he was brought into this glorious relationship with God. Through grace from the Father, through the blood of the Son, through the working of God the Holy Spirit. That's what brought Abraham into it. I want you to see something else very, very quickly, because our time's gone. Look at Romans chapter 4 and the last verse of the chapter. Romans chapter 4 and the last verse of the chapter. Not only do we see the grace of the Father, the blood of the Son on the cross, if you like, the work of God, the Holy Spirit, bringing salvation or bringing conviction to us, but we see the resurrection here in verse 25. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? Doesn't Paul put it well together, doesn't he, friends? You see a little parts of the picture here. He brings them all. Notice what he says in verse 25. He's speaking about Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. The little chorus used to, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day is coming. Oh, glorious day. Can we see it first day? How do I know I'm justified tonight? You're saved in this gallery, and you're saved. How do you know you're justified tonight? The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the proof tonight of my justification. He's the proof tonight of your justification. He's the proof tonight, dear friends, of our relationship with God. Through the work of the Father, the grace, through the blood of the Son, through the work of the Spirit, through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses, who was raised again for our justification. First of all, we had the problem, then we had the question. We've just discovered a solution, haven't we? Now, I want you to see something else. I want you to see the satisfaction very, very quickly. Romans chapter 5, just a few verses. I want you to see the satisfaction. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified, there we have it, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got a little note just written here in my Bible, and I read it, and there's just something that says this tonight. Whenever I'm justified by faith with God, the war's over. I have peace with God tonight. That conflict that was there before, that rebellious nature that was there before, that power of the devil that was there before, dear friends, has been defeated. And because I've been justified by faith, as we see here in chapter 5 and verse 1, it says we have peace with God. How do we get that peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a lovely thought tonight. What Lord Jesus are we thinking about here? Not the Lord Jesus on the cross now. Not the Lord Jesus in the sepulchre now. But we're thinking tonight, dear friends, about the Lord Jesus is in the glory tonight. I have peace with God tonight because of the man in the glory. Can we see it, friends? Look at the verse again. I have peace with him tonight. You see, dear friends, we could be here all night. I don't want to do that. You see, whenever you and I sin, we have an advocate tonight, the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have the accuser of the brethren there tonight, and heaven, that's dead, and Satan is on there. Whenever you and I would sin and do wrong, I'm not to be guilty of this, to be honest. I have to be faithful before God tonight. I'm not perfect by any means. But I can tell you this tonight, friends. I thank God this evening I got a great high priest in Jesus Christ the righteous. I thank God tonight I got an advocate, one who represents me in the presence of the Father. And because he's there tonight, I have peace with God. What did Jesus say? He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, he says. We have your peace tonight with God. That's the first thing. That's the satisfaction. Number one, we have peace, justified by faith. Number two, peace with God. Look at verse 2. We have access unto his grace, by whom we have access by faith unto his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Where am I tonight? Standing in the grace of God tonight, friends. Standing in the grace of God tonight. That's where I am. Oh, thank God tonight for that lovely grace, that matchless grace tonight. You can see John Newton, can't you? You can see that slave tutor tonight. That wicked man, friends. Yet no, it's all because of the grace of God. And you and I am what I am tonight by the grace of God. You see the man or woman walking down the street there with the drugs and the drink and everything else goes with it. Dear friends, tonight, there go I, but for the grace of God tonight. There go you tonight, but for the grace of God. Access unto his grace. Look at the next part. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation, friends, who knows what lies ahead of us tonight, individually or collectively. Look at verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. See the blessings tonight. See, the blessings tonight of the grace of God. Our time is gone. I'm looking at that clock there. Our time is gone. And I've just got a little thought here at the bottom of these notes of mine. That's the work of Jesus tonight on the cross of Calvary. His death on the cross brings or makes it possible for you and I tonight to be justified with God. Because the grace of God could never be applied were it not for the finished work of Calvary. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all, my son. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes away the snow tonight, friends.